Okay, we are recording.
Are we?
Yeah, I just started. So I'm going to tell my story because we're recording two in the same day. And I need to tell this story that we
Gotta get it
told
out.
at the beginning of the last one. So I have not been sleeping well lately. Don't know why. Maybe something's about to happen. I don't know. Because there's always like just periods that I go through where I'm waking up at weird times. This time, it's either 2 or 2:30 every single
Interesting.
night. Just like when it was 3 in the morning. On the dot every single night.
Yeah.
Might be possessed again. You never know. But so I woke up and at the same time as always, around 2, 2:30, and Opry was awake this time. And normally this is when she also has to go pee, but I never wake up to the noises of her. Like
Yeah.
she'll start making noises after I'm awake because I think she hears me like turn over
Yeah.
or something and then she gets up. And so normally she has to go pee in the middle of the night because she has the smallest bladder and drinks so much water, I have found out.
She
It's
does drink a lot
ridiculous.
of water.
Anyway, for how small she is, ridiculous. So she woke up and I turn over. I had woken up and I turn over and she is standing up in the window, staring out the window like very intensely. And she is the most buff. She's a Pitbull German Shepherd mix and she's only like, she's pretty small. She's not like a big dog at all. And she weighs almost like 50 pounds, but she is so jacked. You
She's
know,
solid
buff
muscle.
kangaroos, how those really like jacked kangaroos, like you can
Yeah.
see every single muscle through their fur.
Yeah.
That's what she looks like when she's sitting up in the window, getting ready to like be all mad at something. So I'm assuming there's someone outside or something. I don't, cause she does it with bunnies, but she wasn't acting the same way she does with Bunny,
And she
cause
was
she like,
already up there by the time you woke
yeah,
up, right? Like
she had been
she'd
watching
been triggered by
something.
something.
And the way she acts with bunnies is she tries to like pace at the window and chase them. And with this, she was just staring and just sitting there staring, not making any noise or anything. And normally she does like a little bit of whining with bunnies because she wants to go get them. So I'm like, oh my God, is someone trying to break into my house? So I get up and I go look out the window, and there's this creature just walking down our street.
What do
And
you mean by creature?
well, it's some sort of animal. And at first I thought maybe it was a raccoon, but it didn't really look like a raccoon. But it's this black figure just walking down the street.
Does
Some animal, not like a
it's like
person.
the size of a
I couldn't even
raccoon?
really tell the size of it because we're on the second story, so it's
Yeah.
above, from above, so it looks weird. It's past our garage and past the main road
So like across
and
this
going
catty corner?
towards up the next part of the street. And so I can't really tell really how big it is. And so I'm watching it walk, and it goes a little bit towards the sewer. And I was like, if it's a raccoon, it'll go down the sewer. Doesn't go down the sewer. It kind of like just kind of goes near it and then goes like that. And then I was like, well, is it some cat? But it was way too big to just be like a regular cat. And then I'm thinking, like, what other kind of animal can that be? So the only thing I could think of, and it wasn't walking like a dog, it was walking like something the cat family, raccoonish, you know, something like
Yeah.
that. But it didn't fit the description of a raccoon or any animal like that. It was
Not a
way too big to
possum.
be a. No. I love possums. I wouldn't know if it was a possum. And those were so much smaller. And I would know it was so much bigger than a raccoon should have been.
Is it
And
a coyote or a
no.
fox?
No. It wasn't a fox. It was black. Pitch black. And we have lights. Like, it was literally pitch black.
Like, you should have something happening with you.
Yeah.
It shouldn't be a void.
So, I don't know. It was just very strange. I was like, what is that animal? And then I remember that, like, on the Nextdoor app, I've been seeing some stuff recently, not recently, but like since we've moved in, which has only been like 6 months,
Yeah.
about people saying there's been like bobcats and stuff in the area or whatever, mountain lions, I don't know, whatever lives near
It'd be
us.
a bobcat.
But I've seen stuff like that, people saying they've like seen like big cats in their backyard, fenced in backyards and stuff like that. So I was
Yeah.
like, maybe that's what it
I
was,
bet it
but
was
they
a
aren't even
bobcat.
black. So like,
Maybe it's
I
just
don't
like
know.
weirdly not reflective.
Yeah, I don't. It was a very strange thing. So there might be some cryptid that lives around my neighborhood that I saw at 2 in the morning because I literally was like, this is not like any. I've seen so many animals. We've seen so many growing up. Like, we know what
Yeah,
animals
no, we
are.
know what
We're
animals
not.
are.
Yeah. So, and then Corey was like, well, was it a bear? And I was like, no, it was
No.
not a
Was
bear.
it a mini bear?
I was like, bears don't walk like that. But yeah, it was just really weird. So I don't know. That.
They can be like more melanistic than normal.
That kind of does look like it.
Did it have little pointy ears?
It did.
Did it have a tail? It had a tail. Bobcats don't have tails.
I couldn't tell how long the tail was. I knew there was something, though.
Oh, so it had something, yeah, because they had little, like, bratwurst tails.
Yeah. So that might have been what it was, but I don't know. It was just really weird. And Opry knew it was there before, which is even weirder, because she wouldn't have heard it. I don't know.
Doing a silent kitty walk.
Yeah. So, anyway, like I said, there might be some cryptid in my neighborhood. I'll have to keep an eye on that and keep you updated if I see anything else. Or see anything on Nextdoor. That's concerning.
Mm-hmm. Was it leggy?
It seemed tall.
I'm thinking it was a bobcat.
Good possibility.
Because they were very leggy boys.
But then I was like, well, now I'm scared to take the dogs out in the backyard because I knew Opry wouldn't want to go pee. Because I was like, well, what if it hears us and like tries to come over and attack us? And then I was like, well, Apollo's pretty big.
Yeah.
And I'd kick it.
You don't want to.
No.
You're not going to go fight that. No. That one, the dog's going to take one for the team.
No, I could not let that happen. Okay, yeah, I'll go first because you went first last time. So, today we are in the UK. Good rhyme. I have covered the story of Pluckley Kent. This is not a man. I got my information from Wikipedia, Pluckley.net, Express.co.uk, LondonWalkingTours.co.uk, and TimeOut.com. So this one has a very short history in comparison to the last story I covered, and we'll get into that now. So Pluckley is a village and civil parish in the Ashford district of Kent, England. Also, heads up, I can pronounce most of the things in this one. The civil parish includes the adjacent hamlet of Pluckley Thorn. Don't know what that means, but somebody might. References to Pluckley can be found in the Domesday Book of 1086, when it was more of a significant settlement now, or significant settlement than the now larger town of Ashford, which I think is close to here. So the village's parish church is dedicated to St. Nicholas, and it dates back to the 13th and 14th century. So I guess there's not really, like, a date. There isn't a date on that I found that, like, says when it was established, per se.
People have just been, like, living here for
a bit. They've been in and out. So like the landscape, populated. Yeah, the landscape of the area is the edge of a well-drained plain. Good to know. Okay. Because my backyard is not well-drained. With the lowest slope of the Kent Downs to the northwest. I don't know. Why did I include this?
You're giving some geographic details in case people are like, yeah, you know, Pluckley Kent. It's next to those hills, right?
So, Pluckley is mostly agricultural in land use and centered 5 miles west of Ashford. So, it is close to Ashford, like I said. Mm-hmm. So, some places of interest in Pluckley include Surrenden Manor, which was the former residence of Sir Edward Dering, Elvey Farm. So this farm dates back to 1496. That's and includes a collection. Old. I know. I mean, literally the book, this whole place dates back to what? At least 1086?
Isn't yeah, when crazy? I was in Germany, there was a town we went to. They were celebrating their 1,100th anniversary.
It's so wild compared to our history. It's so wild.
How are we all still living there?
So yeah, it dates back to 1496 and includes a collection of stables and outbuildings dating from the 16th to 18th centuries. It was also the location where the Darling Buds of May TV series was filmed. And I've heard of that, and I don't know why. It's probably because I watch a lot of British TV and a lot of Australian TV, and I don't know why, because it's just so good. I don't care. It's so much better than American TV. I don't care. Everyone leave me alone. I would move there if I could. But I can't. And then I'd have to bring all the dogs, and that's a lot of stuff. That's a lot of...
You only have to do it once, though.
Yeah, but then I wouldn't bring them back if I come visit my family that only lives here. So according...
Catherine Zeta-Jones in it.
Yeah, I know. Wait, who is that? I saw her name on there, and I was like, why do I know this person? She's
that lady.
Yeah.
She's married to Michael Douglas. What else is she in that you would have seen? She's in The Mask of Zorro, if you've seen that.
No, I've seen her in stuff.
I mean, yeah, she's in things.
She is an actress.
That one sees. No,
but yeah, like, yeah. So no, I've heard of this show before, but I don't know why. Anyway, so according to their website, Pluckley is a small but thriving community surrounded by apple orchards and looking out across the Weald. It says Weald.
Okay. Well, that's their own description.
Yeah. So anyway, it just sounds like a very cute small town.
Yeah.
That is also the most haunted village in England with 12 official ghosts. So obviously now we're on to the hauntings. So Pluckley is actually in the Guinness Book of World Records for being the most haunted village in Britain. Pluckley has more ghost sightings per person than any other village in the country. In the 2011 census, Pluckley had a population of 1,069 individuals, which equate to one ghost per 89 residents.
That's pretty good.
The Mirror, however, which I assume is some newspaper or something over here that everybody knows, because it's mentioned many times,
yeah.
Reported last year that the village is home to 15 ghosts, or one per 71 residents.
Oh.
Which, like... I think they have just, like, a specific amount that everybody knows and has seen, but it's more haunted as well. Like, these are just ones that, like, you know, people have given names to or something,
yeah.
Whatever. Or have, like, their backstory for. So, it has been the location for a series of supernatural TV shows, including Most Haunted and Ghostly Legends. Those are two pretty big ones. Local resident Julie Halliday told Kent Online of one particular spirit in 2019. She told them about a young girl named Elizabeth who she believed had been plastered into the walls of the Black Horse pub by her evil nanny. Quote, "A lot of people say their hair gets pulled. A medium told us it's because she gets bored and mischievous." Another quote, "I believe in the stories and have seen things myself. Too many things have happened over the years for it to not be true."
That's fair.
So, they have a lot, since there are, like, 12 specific ghosts, I do have a lot of, like, paragraphs that just go into, like, each part of town or, you know,
yeah.
Wherever this ghost backstory or whatever. So, it's a lot of jumping around, but also I mostly followed, like, the walking trails. There's the really good walking trail website that tells you, like, what's haunted and then gives you directions of how to get to
like
each place.
Like, how to take your own walking tour of the town.
So if you want to do that, I definitely recommend, here, what's that website again? Londonwalkingtours.co.uk is what I found, and I thought they had really good information. So
yeah,
if you want
that,
to do a walking tour.
Is that the one that gave you, like, all the little directions, and then
yeah.
You're going to turn down this weird
yes.
road with no name?
Yeah. Or it says, go back up that road.
Yeah.
Like, so if you want to do a walking tour of Pluckley, Kent, use that website. So, the Black Horse used to be a farmhouse surrounded by a moat and belonged to the local bailiff. It is famous for things apparently disappearing from right before people's eyes and turning up again a few days later.
Fun.
Laura Gambling was interviewed and said one Sunday morning she was enjoying a cup of tea prior to opening for the busy Sunday lunchtime ahead, when she noticed a glass on the shelf above the bar move, just a little, and as she watched it, the glass began to slide along the length of the shelf, and then stopped right when it reached the edge. But didn't fall off, just stopped right at the edge, because the ghost was like,
weird,
I could shatter
but
this.
That is kind.
They go, they're just like, just to let you know, I could shatter this, but I'm not going to be that mean to you on a Sunday morning before it gets busy. Other activities that have been seen include an unseen hand that lifted cutlery from the dresser and arranged it neatly on the side.
I don't like it here. It should go like this.
Now, here's the thing. I don't think anybody's ever taught you how to arrange it correctly, and I'm going to show you right now. This is how it's done properly. Don't forget it. A spot in the kitchen where the pet dogs would stop abruptly and bark at something or someone that only they could see. And an upstairs room that the dogs refused to enter altogether.
Always love that.
So, this place, I feel like, might have some evil stuff in it as well as this nice cutlery ghost.
Yeah.
Another local resident, Liz Windham?
Windham?
Windham? Said that her, I always say it and then say it the same way over and over.
Uh-huh. You don't change it at all. And I'm like, what? You think you're saying it different ways. You think you're giving options.
Anyway, she said that her young niece had once, quote, sat up in bed and pointed at a pretty lady who wasn't there.
Ew. I don't like that.
Oh, it says we need to move. You know, at least she's a pretty lady.
You know,
it's fair. So Fright Corner, one of Pluckley's most notorious spots, has regular ghost sightings as well. A highwayman is believed to have taken his last breath here in the 18th century. He reportedly got into a fight with the village's peacekeepers, and there was some big old, you know, sword fight situation going on. I don't really know the story. And they apparently pinned him to an oak tree with their sword, like, stabbed mm-hmm. him through to a tree.
Oh, gosh.
Which was still standing until very recently. So the tree has only just now been removed recently.
Shocking. That's a very old tree.
Yeah, it was. It might have finally died.
That's what I'm thinking, yeah.
So people who claim to have seen the ghosts report a... Like, these ghosts specifically, mm-hmm. report a reenactment of their sword fight with always the same outcome That's of so seeing fun. The man stabbed to kebab to a tree.
Yeah. It reminds me of that fort that I covered in, like, Wyoming or yeah. whatever. Where, like, everything was just a whole bunch of
yeah.
weird battle recreations.
I know. Wouldn't that be so funny? You're, like, walking down the street and you just start seeing that and you're like, what a great, like, you start clapping at the end wow, and then you're like, show. Oh, and they all disappear in front of your eye. And oh. you're like, all right, I gotta keep going. So, just a short walk away from Fright Corner is the Screaming Woods.
Oh, God, I love that.
Some people camp out in the woods to see if they'll catch a glimpse of any ghosts or, you know, paranormal activities happening. And they have reported hearing screaming after dark. The Mirror reported that these are the sounds of those who died while getting lost in the misty woods. Because apparently people used to travel through here for I don't know what reason. And they would get lost or something because I guess they weren't well-kept woods. I don't know. But, people scream and died in them. So.
Probably some of those highwaymen had something to do with it.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe it was the peacekeepers all along. They were actually the bad guys.
Like Montana.
Yeah. Montana so. Vigilantes. There's some skepticals that live here. Skeptics. I'm very. Everyone ignore how dumb I am, please. So, some people don't believe in these things. I'm going to say it that way.
No, the skepticals.
The skeptics.
There you go, a title.
So, some people don't believe any of these stories because, you know, they're Debbie Downers, whatever. One of them is a local butcher, and he told Kent Online, quote, I have been here for years and have never seen anything. It's all just stories people made up.
The butcher is obviously not a local. He was not born there because he's been there for years. He wasn't born there and lived there forever.
Mm.
He's not giving into it because he's not actually from there.
He's like, we're all adults. Why would we believe in ghosts?
Exactly.
You know what?
He came in with a negative attitude and the ghost said, no, you don't get to see us.
Too bad. So sad. Anyway. Another local agreed, saying, quote, it's a nice village and these stories ruin it and give us the hassle we don't need.
I assume they're so also that's not from there.
Or it's just a crotchety old person who's like, if I have to see one more tourist asking me if I've seen any ghosts today, I'm going to lose my mind. Why did I give him a southern accent? they're British.
It's the only accent you can do.
I feel like they're just upset because people want to come and visit this haunted place and they want to live
some
in their small town.
Like, so anti-tourist. It's yeah.
Which, I mean, like, I get it, but also, like, there's so many other small towns you could go live in.
Yeah, that too.
So, anyway. Some people don't believe it, so I had to put that in there because, you know, you have to hear
both
sides.
Gotta show all the sides.
So, back onto the haunts. The Church of St. Nicholas. So, a strange dancing light has frequently been seen in the upper section of the window to the right.
Yeah, you know that window to the right. What side of the building? We don't
know. The right. Just to the right. It has often been accompanied by the sound of knocking coming from the family vault beneath the ground.
Oh, that's...
I love that.
Wait, so is someone inside experiencing the knocking while someone's outside witnessing the light, because then somebody's inside, so the light should be on.
They said something about the family vaults, and I couldn't understand if that was inside the church or outside the church.
I would assume it's inside the church.
I didn't know, and they didn't really tell me. So, in the early 70s, a group of researchers persuaded the church rector to allow them to spend the night locked inside the church. When the vicar came to let them out the next morning, they complained. Yes. They had all been slaughtered. When the vicar came out the next morning, they complained of having spent an uneventful night. Nothing really happened. They were so bored, but the only thing that alleviated their boredom was the vicar's dog, who had come to visit them from time to time. The vicar said, "I don't have a dog." Yeah. So the one ghost that they
had seen playing with a puppy dog ghost
was a little ghosty dog.
This is so boring.
Which is funny because the ghost dog was like, "Oh, you're bored? Let me come play with them again. Maybe they won't be bored anymore." Mm-hmm. So anyway, that's very cute.
Nothing's happening. Oh, okay, I can come back. It's okay.
I love that one. What's better than little animal ghosts?
Big animal ghosts.
She's so cute. Like a bear. So, now we're going to talk about Greystones. Greystones is haunted by a monk who drifts among the surrounding trees. That's a scary thing to picture.
I think he's, like, up in the branches. Like, just awkwardly high. You're like, what? How are you?
I just picture someone, like, floating back and forth like this. So, he is said to have lived in, Tudor times. I don't know. This is something they said a lot. Tudor times in a lot of the history. No, I know what it is. I'm just saying, that's just the time they've just assumed everybody.
I think there's a very specific kind of dress then. So if maybe you're wearing that dress, you're like, yeah, you knew the Tudors.
And he reportedly fell in love with the daughter of a neighboring property. So she reportedly died under tragic circumstances. I can't talk. And he became extremely depressed. His only solace was to walk the green fields and leafy lanes where they had enjoyed so many romantic times together. But as time passed, he sank deeper and deeper in his depressive state and died from a broken heart. His ghost continues to wander the neighborhood and was last seen in 1989 by an American journalist who glimpsed his unmistakable brown-robed figure drifting behind the house. Ew. Sad story.
Not the story. That was
ew, romance.
No, sorry. No, the concept of seeing that of a like a ghost.
A robe. Any
in robe. Yeah. Like, floating behind the church. That would.
No, any robe ghost is scary.
Don't like
so,
it.
So, moving on. So, invisible ghostly woman is our next ghost. More than one person walking along here has heard the sound of a man and woman chatting happily, accompanied by a playfully yapping dog.
Oh my gosh, I wonder if the dog visited them.
Maybe. The voices get closer and closer until they're pretty much right at your heels, and then the voices fade as they pass along down the road.
Haven't you told a story in England with,
possibly
another, thing like that happening?
I think so.
Where it's, a man's talking behind you the whole time or something.
And then, just passes you and is still talking. I love that. That's so fun.
They're so creepy.
Because these people, it says it in the walking tour. I don't remember the exact location. I think it's close to Greystones.
Yeah.
That this happens. But, people will literally just be, going out on a walk. And they hear people behind them, look around.
Yeah.
There's nothing there. And the dog. And then they keep getting, it gets louder and louder and louder. And then it passes you and just recedes away because they've passed you. And
yeah.
I guess you're walking slow. What happens if you start speed walking?
Yeah, what if you stay behind you? If you're, jogging, will it always be behind you?
Maybe.
Or does it still pass you up? Because that's weird then.
That'd be really weird. They'd be like, we gotta get past these friggin' losers. So, Rose Court. The house is at least 250 years old, which is not even old at all compared
to
this story. And it is said to have been built by a member of the Daring family for his mistress. There is no exact date for when it was built, but the period is generally described again as Tudor times, which was that 250 years ago? Think so.
No, it's definitely
that's why
not.
I'm saying all these things kept saying Tudor times, and I don't think that's right. That's
because
why I brought it up.
The last Tudor is Queen Elizabeth. She's a Stuart. Wait, when are the Tudors?
Don't know.
The Tudors before the Stuarts?
It don't seem right.
You know, I don't know English history because they don't teach us that.
I'm learning a little bit about it in art history right now.
Either way, here's the thing. 200 years ago is not 1603, so it can't be the Tudor period.
Yeah. That's why I was saying, they just kept saying everything was Tudor times, and I was like, well, this doesn't match up. Okay, moving on from boring English history, back to our haunting English history. So, this woman reportedly, whatever time, this house was built at some random time. I don't even know if it could be more than 250 years old, and they just said it wrong on the website. Anyway, so this woman reportedly fell in love with the monk who lived at Greystones and found the love triangle so distressing between him and her other affair. It'd be the Georgian era, person.
If that date is right.
So,
just so everybody
yeah.
knows.
I knew something was off and it wasn't just me. So anyway, she's got this love triangle going on between the monk and the guy who has money. And she found this so distressing that she drank a fatal cocktail distilled from the juiced leaves of ivy and other poisonous berries.
Yeah, that makes sense. Because ivy is
toxic.
Yeah, like the pretty, you know, like creeping yeah. English ivy that yeah. goes besides the building sets. Don't eat it.
Yeah. So when her body was discovered, it was apparent that her final moments had been spent looking across the field to Greystones.
While we're in the campaign.
But here's another little side note. Greystones wasn't built until 1863.
That's just basically the Victorian era at that point.
But a good ghost story is a good ghost story. So, you know.
Here's the
strange
thing.
Things happen within Rose Court. Articles are moved around in the night. Strange sounds and sighs. It says grounds and signs, so that's why I'm having so many weird pauses. Strange sounds and sighs can be heard in the early morning hours, and it is said that a peculiar, eerie atmosphere is said to hang over the garden. From the juiced ivy leaves, I would assume. So anyway, that's that story and the monk story are a little, you know, weird, but also I find it extra weird that the last time the monk was seen was in the 80s. So, now we are on to the watercress lady. So, on the banks of the river Butte? This is me and Sadie had to do some research to find out where this location was.
And I think it's this river.
Yes.
Because somebody describes, like, a little stone bridge, and it has a little stone bridge, and I can't find a single one in the entire, like, area around the town otherwise. So,
yep.
This is a great guess, and if it's wrong, I apologize.
We tried our best. We did more than most people would. So,
I did a lot of walking around in Google Maps yeah. Street View.
So on the banks of this river lived an old Roma woman who made her living gathering watercress and selling it to the villagers. She was a well-known local character. Each night as the sun went down, she would sit on the walls of the bridge, smoke her clay pipe, and drink gin out of an old beat-up flask. One evening, she fell asleep, and the pipe dropped onto her clothing, and within moments, she had erupted into a ball of flame. She was found the next day as a charred pile of ashes,
oh, no.
The beaten-up old flask, and the shattered clay pipe lying nearby. Her ghost has been seen many times since a few years following her death. Like, shortly after her death, I believe, is when she was, like, had the most energy. People would see a screaming figure surrounded by flame.
Oh no.
But in the later years, she has become more of a faint pink glow that hovers in the air in the spot where she burned to death. So it's like gone down a bit. But yeah. So that's that story. That's a sad one. So now we're on to the blacksmith's forge tea room.
Fun.
The building's origins, allegedly, I'm going to say allegedly now because we can't believe this fully, date back to the 14th century when it housed a blacksmith's forge. It then became an alehouse. This building has at least two ghosts attached to it. One was a cavalier whose jovial form has been seen by several members of the family striding in and out of various upstairs rooms.
Fun.
The other is said to have been, here it is again, a Tudor maid, who would stand by the fireplace slowly turning the spit, which I'm assuming they saw the ghost doing that.
I assume, here's the options. It's either the spit's just turning, or
yeah.
the maid, they can see the maid turning, and they can't possibly know is it Tudor maid if they can't see her.
Correct.
So there must be a figure appearing and turning it.
Which I like that. I don't know why, but whenever I read that line, I assumed she was, like, standing there and, like, here's the fireplace. And I assumed she was, like, standing here just staring directly at the people.
while she's turning it.
And, like, emotionless, just, like, turning it. Like, this is what I've been, I have to do for eternity. I don't know why.
There's so many, like, full body apparitions in this town.
I know. This town is so cool. I need to go. So, okay. So people have experienced a line of hanging mugs suddenly clicking together, like somebody just walked by them and ran their finger along them. On a cold November afternoon in 1997, Gloria Atkins, the then owner... of the tea room, was working in the kitchen when she heard the front door open and close. This was followed by the sound of a chair being moved away from a table. She picked up her notepad and went to take the customer's order, only to find the tea room empty. Oh. She could see the chair had been moved back from the table, but there was nobody in the building.
Weird.
Which I like that. I think that's such a good one. Because that's so spooky.
It would take
spooky.
Me so long to know I was haunted if the ghosts were just, like, moving little things around the house. Because I constantly am moving stuff and, like, not remembering I'm doing it.
No, yeah.
Like, I would be like, yeah. That's,
the amount of times
I
have to, like,
took that chair out.
Retrace my steps and, like, think as hard as I possibly can. Because I'm like, I know I said it somewhere else, but I can't think of it. But, like, maybe it's been a ghost the whole time. So, now we are on... Okay, that was done. Okay, the schoolmaster... This is at Dickey Buses Lane. In the 1920s, at the end of this lane, a group of children on their way to school came upon the body of their teacher hanging from the branch of a tree. The reason for the suicide was never discovered, but on certain nights, when a light breeze rustles the trees and a full moon sits over the neighborhood, his ghostly form is clearly seen swinging back and forth, hanging from the branch he was found on.
Oh, that's so... I don't like that
that's
one.
That's a good one. I like that one.
Here's the thing. I wonder if somehow this is being conflated with the monk. And, like, they're actually, like, somehow the same thing.
It could be. You never know.
Because this one is, like, far more time appropriate, like, 100% possible. As opposed to the other one where it's, like, the building it's supposed to haunt, like, didn't even exist. So how can he haunt it?
Yeah. Okay, the bakery. So, renovation to this property included the removal of an old Victorian fireplace, and this exposed the original hearth. So, this renovation seemed... Yeah.
Hearth?
Is it not the same thing?
I've not heard of
hearth. Hearth, whatever. You know what? I was confident, so we're moving on.
You were very confident,
this renovation seemed to shift the activity in the house. Ghostly footsteps then stomped across an upper room and stopped when they reached the fireplace. Started to become a regular occurrence.
Weird.
So stomping footsteps started happening after this. Residents reported an icy chill hanging in the air at this spot, even on the hottest days. So that's where you need it. If you're in this bakery, stand there if you're hot. This section of the road is also apparently the route used by a phantom coach and spectral horses that are heard but never seen racing by the houses in the early morning hours.
That's cool. I like that.
I like that a lot. So, now on to our last. Other ghosts in the town are said to be the ghost of a colonel who hanged himself in Park Wood, which may or may not be related to the teacher.
Yeah.
Not sure. A man smothered by a wall of clay who drowned at the brickworks. The white lady. A young woman who was apparently buried inside 7 coffins. And an oak sarcophagus who haunts St. Nicholas's church. Don't know about
that. I don't know how an oak sarcophagus can haunt a church.
No, it's
Hold
with
on.
That young woman.
She's in 7 coffins and, like, was
yes,
she in pieces?
A young woman who
or
was
is it
apparently
like
buried inside 7 coffins and an oak sarcophagus
like, they want
still
the
haunts St. Nicholas's church.
Oh, is that why she's in so many coffins? Because she keeps haunting?
Maybe. I don't know.
I can now understand, like, that she's in 1 coffin. That one wasn't enough. If we put her in 2 coffins, she can't possibly escape. Okay, well, that didn't work. Put her in 3 coffins. They keep on going until 7. At this point, they're like, we need better wood. Oak it is.
Oak sarcophagus, let's go. So, and
what
then
is
there
so
is the red lady who was reportedly a member of the Daring family who haunts the churchyard at St. Nicholas's Church as well. And lastly, a small white dog who has been reported in the same location.
Which I assume is the one that was haunting the investigators.
Could be that. Could be the dog that walks with the people.
That could be the same dog.
There's a lot of ghosts going on in this town. Anyway, and I love that's it. Like one of the best it's ghost so stories I think I've ever covered. Besides, I think the Stanley Hotel is my other favorite one. But that's just because I love that hotel for some reason.
My favorite is that fort in Wyoming or Kansas or something like that. That had all the weird, ex-Civil War soldiers doing, weird things on dams. Or, the lady who's riding the horse in the distance. That was one of my favorite ones.
But, yeah, so that's the end of Pluckley, Kent. The most haunted town in the UK.
The heavy footsteps that became regular reminds me of one of my coworkers when I was working in Virginia. He was, a 50s or 60s year old man.
Mm-hmm.
And he had done a project somewhere at some old house in Virginia. He was staying there over the summer for this work. He was archival work he was doing or something like that. He was staying in one of the old houses, at the Boone home where you can sleep in some of those houses.
Yeah.
And he was sleeping on the bottom floor, and on the top floor every night he would just hear pacing footsteps and it would just make him angry because he couldn't go to sleep. It wasn't oh no, it's a haunting, this is spooky. He was just
that does very sound mad. Like, if you don't quit your pace, and I swear.
Well, it got to the point where he started yelling at it, and eventually it stopped.
Yeah.
And it decided to respect him, his wishes, and not stomp around at night. And it's that's so funny.
That's so funny.
He didn't care at all that it was a ghost.
He was I wasn't scared or nothing. I was just tired of not getting a wink of sleep at night.
Okay. So my story is about the Battle of Bamber Bridge. My source is Wikipedia. It had a lot on it, so I got to the point where I just couldn't write anymore. So, in 1943, the 1511th
with skepticals
quartermaster truck logistics unit, an American unit made up primarily of black troops, with all but one white officer, was stationed in Lancashire? I don't know. England, United Kingdom, along with the 234th U.S. Military Police Company. So we got a basically all-black unit with all white military police. That's where we're starting off this story. And this is World War II, in case the date didn't make it clear.
Okay.
So, the officers assigned to the 1511th, there has to be a short way to say that.
If there is, I don't know it.
Yeah, I don't either. Was notably less competent than other officers, as the unit was used as a dumping ground for bad leadership, meaning the worst of the white officers were being assigned to this unit.
Great. Great.
At this point, the U.S. Armed Forces and the U.S. as a whole were still segregated.
Okay.
So in the UK, things were more lax. It's not to say that there wasn't segregation, but there were no laws that required segregation because, we had the whole, separate but equal. You needed to make, two of each versus the UK. If you didn't want to have a segregated bar, you didn't have to have a segregated bar.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. It's not to say that, racism wasn't a thing in the UK. It's just to say different rules. So, as there were no requirements to have segregated establishments, Lancashire didn't have any, and anyone was allowed into the three pubs in the town. So the white American officers had a problem with this, as well as the MPs, and requested the town create a colored bar so they didn't have to drink with their fellow black soldiers. The town responded by posting black troop only signs on all three bars. So, they made a colored bar. In fact, they made three.
All right.
Which is all of the bars in town.
Yeah.
So, now, if you have an issue eating in there, obviously the locals were still going in, but the, they're just being, sassy.
Yeah.
Sassy in a good way. So, this is what leads to the crime. The evening of the 24th of June, 1943, some of the soldiers from the 1511th, is how I'm going to say it, Quartermaster truck unit were getting drinks at Ye Old Hob Inn. That's actually its name. I always thought that was something like we did to make fun of the UK. But apparently that's real things they name that way.
Yeah.
Ye Old Hob Inn. That's supposedly, great. As sources vary, two MPs, Corporal Roy A. Windsor and Private First Class Ralph F. Ridgway, were called to respond to trouble at a local pub, and they had standing orders to arrest any soldier who was out of camp without a pass, was disorderly, or was out of proper uniform. I don't know enough about the military to know if the uniform thing would be, like, something you'd actually arrest somebody for, because that really seems, like, over the top. Mm. Or if this was just, like, a really weird rule that someone had put in place to, you know, be butts.
Yeah.
Upon entering the pub, the MPs... <butts. laughs> replacing my preferred words.
This is a clean podcast.
Talk about terrible things that we don't curse.
Well, you know, you gotta keep something clean.
Upon entering the pub, the MPs encountered Private Eugene Nunn, who was in a field jacket instead of a Class A uniform, which is apparently required. So they asked him to step outside. This is where an argument started.
Okay.
The MPs on one side and the locals, along with the with a British service woman and some servicemen, siding with Nunn on the other. So it's the MPs are like, how dare you not be wearing this kind of jacket? And everyone else is like, you're dumb. That's ridiculous, is how I understand this. So one British soldier reportedly challenges the MPs, saying, why do you want to arrest them? They're not doing anything or bothering anybody.
That's right.
They, again, the people in the bar are not the ones calling the police. Yeah. If that was not made clear. So maybe they had different military dress standards because, again, this is a British person in the military saying it about what this guy is doing. And so, like, they have different standards of punishment for something like this. But I think if another country's soldier is saying that you're being ridiculous, and I'm thinking the MPs are, like, going over the top, or this rule is, like, super
I think they're making stuff up.
So Staff Sergeant William Byrd, who was the one black officer, attempted to defuse the situation and managed to get the MPs to leave. As the MPs walk away, someone throws a beer at their Jeep. I'm assuming it's a local. This makes sense for the locals.
It would have been me.
Right?
I'm telling you right now. And it wouldn't have been at the Jeep.
Anyway,
it would have been at their heads.
It was at their Jeep. It wasn't even at their heads.
See, that's what I would have done.
Exactly. Because when I first read it, I stopped before I hit the Jeep and I was threw a beer at them. And I was like, I can see how that might make you a little bit angry.
Yeah.
Because, like, you could, honest to goodness, hurt somebody doing that. But it's just at their Jeep. It gets a little denty dent. I don't care.
It's not even yours. It's probably a military one. So
it is. Yeah, exactly. It's a military Jeep. This leads to the MPs getting, quote-unquote, reinforcements.
Oh, my God.
Which I think was just their, like, like-minded buddies. Because they only get two people for reinforcements after talking to some higher-up MPs, who were Captain Julius F. Hurst and Lieutenant Gerald C. Windsor. And they told them to do their job and arrest the black soldiers. I think they, like, came up with a bigger tale than what actually happened, and that's why they were told they were allowed to go arrest them.
Mm-hmm.
This is obviously me just speculating, but everything that happens afterwards seems like it's way too much to happen for someone who was not the people who were in slightly different uniform than how you'd prefer them to be.
Yeah.
Like, this, everything that happens is too much. If they actually told that story, I don't think the reactions that happened would have happened. Unless system was just absolutely that bad. And maybe I'm just being naive and it was that bad. But I haven't heard of a story like this before.
Yeah.
That's why I think it seems weird. So, and also I just don't trust the police. So.
Correct.
The MPs intercepted the men on their road back to the camp. And here a fight broke out and shots were fired. One hitting Private William Crossland in the back, killing him. And he was one of the black soldiers.
Okay.
So the black soldiers, a number injured, returned to base. Them returning to base with one of their men dead, killed by their own people. Causes a panic.
Understandably.
Realistic. That's, I get it.
Yes.
A reasonable response. So, and a rumor starts spreading that the MPs are specifically targeting black soldiers, which is 100% a true rumor.
Correct.
But the problem is, They don't mean targeting, like, oh, we're trying to get you in trouble more than, they mean literally shooting.
Using them as targets.
Like, using them as targets, targeting.
Yeah.
Which is less true. Otherwise, more people would have been hit better. Anywho, I get it. All of this totally makes sense. Like, their reaction, 100% within reason. So, at the time, the colonel is not present, so the acting CO is Major George C. Harris, and he tries his best to calm the men down, because, like, obviously, that's what you do. Mm-hmm. Oh, wait, hold on. The other guy was not the one black officer. He was just a slightly higher-ranking black man. It's the other one is Lieutenant Edward D. Jones. He's the black officer, and he's the one who ensures the unit that Harris will actually try his best to round up the MPs and pursue justice for killing their fellow soldier.
Yeah.
Goodness. So after Jones is like, he's gonna try, guys, they calm down a bit. So while Harris may truly have had this goal in mind, it did not stop anything that happened next.
Okay.
Like, maybe he really was going to pursue that, but everything else happened too fast for that to be able to occur.
Things escalated too quickly.
Yeah. So that night, a number of jeeps, all full of MPs, and an improvised armored car.
What
and
does
I don't
that
know
even
if that
mean?
Means it was something that the MPs were using. Like, they were just under, like, they didn't have enough stuff, so they had made this in case, like, you know, the Germans appeared or something.
Yeah.
Or if they created an improvised armored car to go deal with this situation. Because one of those is far worse than the other.
Yeah.
Anyway, so they have this improvised armed car with a machine gun attached to it.
Okay.
And they either arrive at the camp to intimidate, or they're forming a roadblock to ambush the black soldiers for when they leave later. Because, like, they're going to be leaving eventually. And I'm not sure which one it is. It's unclear. Everything about the story is quite unclear, which is upsetting. Because, like, it went through a legal system. Why do we not know? Anyway, the ambush, they 100% definitely did set up some sort of, like, roadblock ambush situation. I don't know if they also appeared at the camp. Either way, a local British cop informed the 1511th that this ambush had been set up.
Yeah.
Because the locals are on their side. They don't like the MPs.
Good.
So obviously the black soldiers arm themselves because it's not a normal thing for your MPs to be setting up ambush roadblocks for their fellow soldiers.
Yeah.
And they're going to go out and they're going to face the MPs, is what they've decided.
Good.
So, the black soldiers warn the town folk to stay inside when the firefight breaks out in the early morning. So, like, you know, they want to keep people safe.
Yeah.
They want to keep their friends safe. The people are on their side. So, an officer, three black soldiers, and one MP were shot, and two MPs were beaten as the result of this altercation.
Uh-huh.
And that's the end of the event.
Okay.
Is it? They have a kerfuffle in the street. The only person who dies is the guy who dies at the original.
Uh-huh.
100% definitely all on the MP's event.
Uh-huh.
So this all leads to the court martial, goodness gracious, of 32 black soldiers who were charged with mutiny and related crimes. I don't think they were being mutinous.
No.
Because they weren't. The MPs are not their group. They weren't going against their group.
What the
heck? They were defending their group. Either way, that's what
they're
charged with.
So they're the only ones getting charged?
Yep.
No.
Two trials were conducted. One for the four black soldiers involved in the original brawl.
Okay.
They were sentenced to up to 3 years of hard labor.
Okay.
And all of them were dishonorably discharged with one of the convictions being overturned on review.
I'm dishonorably discharged.
Which means they get no benefits from being a veteran. The second trial was for the 35 defendants. It says 35 defendants. I don't know where 35 is wrong because originally I said 32. I don't know what's happening. Either way, the rest of them that aren't the original four they're being addressed in the second trial. Some were acquitted. The 28 were convicted. And I think it's supposed to be seven. Seven were acquitted. I wrote scene.
Sounds like me.
28 were convicted with sentences ranging from 3 months to 15 years. A review of this trial resulted in the release of one man and the reduction of all of the other sentences being reduced significantly.
Yeah.
With 15 of the men just being returned to duty. They didn't even have to serve the rest of whatever they had served. So the longest sentence that they ended up serving was 13 months. And I don't think any of them were dishonorably discharged. They all got to stay in the military. So reports of the so-called mutiny were considerably censored, with newspapers only saying that the violence had occurred in the town somewhere in the northwest. They, like, didn't even specify where it was. It just happened somewhere in the northwest of England.
Okay.
Like, absolutely no details on this event were published in any newspapers, because they didn't want to look bad. So General Ira C. Aker, E-A-K-E-R?
Eker?
Aker? Eker? I don't know. Commander of the 8th Air Force placed the majority of the blame on the white officers and the MPs because of their poor leadership and use of racial slurs, which is...
I would place it all onto them, actually. Yep. Believe it or not. They're the ones that came into the bar in the first place.
Well, and then they're the ones who set up a roadblock ambush. Mm-hmm. And you're saying that they're not supposed to defend themselves? So efforts were made to prevent future incidents. They were not great, but they were something. So trucking units were all combined and put into a single special command. And I think a lot of, like, African-American soldiers were in these trucking units, and they put them all into one command instead of under, like, other little groups, so that way they weren't being, like, as discriminated against by leadership, I guess.
Yeah.
I think that was the goal there. The rank of the special command... they were put under a single special command, and the ranks of this new single special command were purged of inexperienced or racist officers, so anybody who was just, like, not a good dude did not get to be in charge of this new command.
Good.
That's what it is.
That's good.
MP patrols were racially integrated. That's my favorite thing that resulted of this. They're like, oh, so you're going to be terrible and racist, now you're going to have to work with people you don't
now
like.
Now this is your brother, so get over yourself.
Yep. You gotta depend on him if you want to be safe, so you're gonna have to get over some of your issues.
Good.
So I hope that helped situations. It probably wasn't great for
the
African-American MPs, but it has to start somewhere.
That's right.
So these actions, while they did not stop, obviously, racial issues amongst soldiers stationed in Britain, it did reduce the occurrence of these issues, and nothing that violent happened again. So I don't think anybody died as a result of these tensions.
Yeah.
Which is great.
Improvement.
Definitely an improvement. Anyway, the reason I found out about the story is because...
I was going to say, this is such a weird story. I would not know how you would have heard about this.
It's because my friend was in Lancashire, Lancaster. I don't know which one it's supposed to be.
It is not Lancaster.
I don't know.
I'm telling you it's Lancashire.
Anyway, so my friend was there, and they like to visit the sites of, like, weird tragedies that happen.
Uh-huh.
And this is obviously a weird tragedy that happened, because I think it's, like, the only event like this that happened in the UK. Like, only battle of American-on-Americans in British soil or something like that. Anyway, so it's, as all of these U.S. people were stationed there, a lot of them stayed.
Okay.
And a lot of them were related to these original extremely racist units.
Yeah.
So they stay there. They never have to go through integration, because the UK really didn't go through that process like everybody else did in the US.
Yeah.
So there's, like, it's some weird, strangely racist environment. Like, all of the American, like, expats and their, like, descendants in the area.
Really?
Yes, it's really, really weird, like,
just runs in the
different
family,
kind
I guess.
Of racist environment than normal. He said it was, like, a bizarre thing. Anyway, so the locals, like, the British locals that aren't descendants of these Americans, refused to let them forget this battle happened.
Good.
And, like, make sure all the signs stay up, and that they don't forget. The people who stayed
this is
there
what
that
you
caused
did.
The issue don't forget. And, like, they were there and were describing all of this, and I was like, well, that sounds like a funny story that
it
no
does.
One knows about.
Yeah.
So anyway, that is the battle of Bamber Bridge, because that's where altercation. I don't know which altercation. It was the first or the second, but one of them happened at the battle at Bamber Bridge, and it's considered a battle. So,
it's very interesting.
Yeah.
Never in my life would I have heard of that.
No, no one would have. The only reason they knew about it is because they were there.
Yeah.
Saw the signs.
That's a good one.
We're at the end.
Yeah.
So what do we say?
Well, try not to kill anyone and don't mess with Ouija boards.
Bye.